I also just wondering when it comes to, if you could speak out maybe either before or afterwards about the, Shlomo and I were reading the same piece of the Chaver, Sif Zayin again.
Yep.
And we're just trying to understand that it sounds like from there that like Mefulash is only works with the, when there's no, Mefulash is only again when there's no, when there is a Choma.
Right, so we spoke about it this year, that's based on 2 days in Rashi. I don't know if you're here for that shiur.
I remember we had
it. Right, you were looking at the Kisvayat.
Yeah. So I'm
let's talk about it after shiur, because I want to get to our topic today.
Okay,
we talk about that after shiur.
Sure.
Great, in the base of the shiur. Okay, so let's go back to Sizayan, as Zach just mentioned. Today, we'll begin by focusing on the B'chol Yom language here in the Mechaber V'Yesharim. Any area where you don't have traffic of 600,000 people every day is not a Rishus HaRabim. Where does B'chol Yom come from? It says in Mishavura, Sifkat and Kavdalid, Chipasti B'chol Rishonim, O'na B'shitazu. I searched in all the Rishonim that are of this position. V'laniska V'divrayim T'nai Zeh. And no one mentions this condition of B'chol Yom. Rak, Sheyu Mitzuyin Sham Shishi Riba. They say that they need to be there, but not necessarily B'chol Yom. The Shaar HaTzion Ev Cafe, V'rak Rashi Erevin Nun Tas, Matzasi Shakas of Ir Shal Yachish, Shalo Hayu Nechnasim, but Tamid Shishi Riba Shavanei Adam. There Rashi writes, Tamid. Tamid doesn't mean every single day. It used to be that you never had 600,000 people. There's a population explosion. Derech Hamavi Mefulash, the Mishnah Berurah says, he didn't find in any Rishon Ha'omi V'shita Zu a requirement of Shishim Ribo B'chol Yom. Problem is, there are Rishonim that have a Lashon of B'chol Yom. The Ramban, Shabbos Daf Nun Zayin, the Ran Kav Vav Amid Aleph B'Dapei Rif, the Ramban Daf Nun Zayin, the Ran Kav Vav Amid Aleph B'Dapei Rif in Shabbos, quote such a position in the name of this Sefer HaTrumah, Lashon B'chol Yom. However, it seems that the Mishnah Berurah is Meduyak, because Mishnah Berurah wrote, he didn't say, Chipasti B'chol Rishonim, V'lo Niska V'divrayim T'nai Zeh. He says, Chipasti B'chol Rishonim, Ha'omdim V'shita Zu, V'lo Niska V'divrayim T'nai Zeh. Those Rishonim that hold L'maisa, Yunit Shishim Ribo, don't say B'chol Yom. So it is true that there's such a Sefer HaTrumah, notwithstanding the fact that in the Sefer HaTrumah we have, it doesn't say B'chol Yom, parenthetically, the Ramban, the Ran citation of the Sefer HaTrumah says B'chol Yom, and the Sefer HaTrumah, the printed Sefer HaTrumah doesn't say B'chol Yom, but leave that aside. So even though you do have the Ramban and the Ran who quote this on the Sefer HaTrumah B'chol Yom, but they themselves don't subscribe to the requirement of Shishim Riba. So of those Rishonim, those Rishonim that require Shishim Ribo, there you don't find the requirement of B'chol Yom.
The Sefer HaTrumah himself doesn't hold of Shishim Ribo?
In the printed Sefer HaTrumah, it does not, no. It has Shishim. The Sefer HaTrumah does not require Shishim. The Ramban and the Ran quote this from the Sefer Truma. The Ramban and the Ran themselves do not require Shishim Ribo. Sefer Truma that does require Shishim Ribo doesn't himself actually have B'chol Yom in the Sefer Truma that's printed. There is a Rabbeinu Peretz. The Rabbeinu Peretz that was not printed in the time of the Shavuah, so you can't blame him for not seeing it. The Rabbeinu Peretz is only printed later, but the Rabbeinu Peretz in Ar Sugya here in Davav in Erevin does say B'chol Yom within the Shita that you require Shishim Ribo. Within that position of Bali Tosa that you require Shishim Ribo, the Rebbein in Paris does have a Lashon of B'chol Yom. The Meiri Shabbos Nun Zayin also has a Lashon of B'chol Yom, even though the Mishnah Berurah does quote the Meiri as not requiring Shishim Ribo Lamaisa. That fits in with the Mishnah Berurah's presentation of B'chol Rishonim Omdim B'shita Zu. And Rabbi Simon in his, I assume this is in a Sefer in Erevin, but originally Rabbi Willing's original article in Erevin, which appeared in the Beis Yitzchak in the early 90s, which subsequently Rabbi Willing reprinted, the Beis Yitzchak 1993, subsequently Rabbi Willing reprinted that in the Amor Chan Shabbos and the Backness section in Erevin. But Rabbi Simon originally wrote Ha'aros on that article of Rabbi Willing's in the Beis Yitzchak, which reprinted in the Beis Yitzchak. So there Rabbi Simon quotes this observation of Chol Rishonim Omdim B'Shita Zu within the Mishnah Berurah in the name of the Tzanzer Rosh Cholel, in the name of the Tzanzer Rosh Hashiva. Okay, just to attribute a printed source.
It's interesting that the Ramban, like, he doesn't hold from it B'Chol, right? Why is he saying, but if I did hold from it, this would be the requirement?
Well, that's how he presents the Shita. I mean, we saw that piece in the Ramban, the other piece in the Ramban, where we were done within the requirement of where the Ramban was dealing within that sheet of Rashi and saying Lishi Taska. So that's not, you know, we showed him do the deal.
Right, but he's not been doing later on the B'chol Yom versus the not B'chol Yom.
What do you mean by later on?
I'm just saying in whatever the this
opportunity. Right, it comes up in the piece of the Ramban in Zayin, it comes up kind of tangentially. It's not correct. The major, or the Ramban's major piece on Shishim Ribo is Erevin and Tess.
Okay.
The next Rav Avadia also, both Rabbi Kasher in his essays, Rav Avadia, Chelek Tess, Yabia Omer, Simin Lama Gimel, Chelek Tess, Simin Lama Gimel, they quote Rav Eni Rucham, who also writes B'chol Yom, and Rav Eni Rucham does hold that you need Shishim Ribo. And the Mishnah Berurah does list the Rabbeinu Yerucham in his list of Rishonim that require Shishim Ribo. So it still could be that when the Mishnah Berurah was counting up the Shitos here, and when he wrote Chipasi B'chol Rishonim, could be he didn't have the original Rabbeinu Yerucham, even though it was printed, could be he didn't have the Rabbeinu Yerucham there at the time.
It's also a really not useful print.
Yes, it's hard to read. Until the reason it was never reprinted, the Chidar writes in the Shem Magdolin, because there was some kind of curse upon anyone who reprinted the Rabbeinu Yerucham that they die or their children would die or the volume would be burned or destroyed. So until a few years ago, no one ever had the chutzpah to reprint the Rabbeinu Yerucham. And then I just noticed in the Beis Medrash a couple of years ago, a nice new print of the Rabbeinu Yerucham. So I looked, there's a long hadam, I think they explain why their reprinting is not a violation of the curse that the Chidah quotes, and don't recall what the whole analysis was.
I think I looked at Rav Avadia's Haskama there and said, yes. Well, Shaykh Bechlam, Ashokos, Shaykh Magadolim.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
Okay, so whoever did it, I'm hoping that they are all in good health.
When did
Rav Eni Yerucham live? Rav Eni Yerucham was the Talmud of the Rush. Right, so we're talking late 1300s.
Mid-1300s.
Something like that,
roughly.
Okay. There is a shul in the Marasham. So, wherever it comes from, there is such a lashon on the Mechaber of B'chol Yom. So how literal is B'chol Yom? And do we actually require B'chol Yom? Mishnah Berurah is skeptical, even within that position, whether B'chol Yom should be taken at face value and whether that should be true lahalacha. There is a tshuva in the Marasham. Tshuva is Marasham Chelek Gimel Simen Kuf Pei Ches, where the shoal in the Marasham, again Chelek Gimel Simen Kuf Pei Ches, the shoal, the person who asked the shayu, is assuming that even within the Lashon B'chol Yom it's not to be taken literally. It doesn't mean that you literally have to have 600,000 people in that area on a daily basis to make it a Rishus HaRabim. It just means that you have that population that has access to the area and could, in theory, practically be there on a daily basis, even if Lamaisa they're not. So the Marsham seems to endure such an approach. As we'll see in a moment, he quotes or references the Beis Ephraim earlier. So the Marsham writes, Vadai Elefaresh, literally that you need B'chol Yom, and even the Sefer Truma that says, Sholten Sham Shishim Ribo, you don't find the Lashon in other Rishonim, even the Sefer Truma he thinks is Lav Dafka. All it means is that if you have an area where it's totally not shayach that you could have shishim ribo there in one day, then that's not going to be rishus harabim. I mean, you have the population and the size of the area such that there's no way you could have shishim ribo there on any given day, then that's not going to be a rishus harabim. What did the Beis Ephraim say? So Beis Ephraim, who was the Bar Pluks of the Mishkanos Yaakov, and in general oriented Li Kula on these matters that you do require Shishim Ribo, he still writes Simen Kaf Ches, page Mem Vav. Simen Kaf Ches, page Mem Vav. Paragraph beginning, Viniflesi. So you don't need, she writes, you don't need Shishim Ribo there at the same exact time, because even in the Midbar you didn't have Shishim Ribo in the Machane Leviyah at the same time. He's assuming for the moment that the Rishus HaRabim in the Midbar was the Machane Leviyah. It was then Nichnas B'Zayosei. It means that Shishim Ribo have access to the area that could be there theoretically at the same time. So it has to be an area that is accessible to Shishim Ribo, who are found in proximity. So you have to have a population that's large enough, and a city whose streets are large enough, that population can, in theory, be in those streets at one time, at any given time, or a given time. So if you have a city with a population of 300 people, and the entire population of the county is 50,000 people, so even if you have the biggest thoroughfare in the world, that's not going to be Rishus HaRabim, because you don't have a base population of Shishim Ribo that could go into the street. But if you have a base population of Shishim Ribo, even if befoel you don't have that number in the streets, it would still be a Rishus HaRabim. That's how the Beis Ephraim understands, even if you require B'chol Yom, the B'chol Yom is somewhat Lav Dafka. Munkacher, Minchas Elazar Chela Gimel Simen Dalid. Minchas Elazar Chela Gimel Simen Dalid writes, within Tosos as a Lashon of Tamid, the Tamid doesn't mean B'chol Yom Mamish, because in Svar no one would say, he says like this, if you understand B'chol Yom literally, so do you mean to say that on some days, let's say 6 days a week, you have shishimibo in the streets. On the work days, you have shishimibo in the streets. On the weekends, there aren't as many people around. So you're going to tell me that on certain days, and most days it's going to be Rishis Arabim, and on a given day when you don't have that population on the streets, it's not going to be Rishis Arabim? So he thinks that is illogical.
You know what could be an example of that?
Yeah.
It's not as stark as the weekends, mm-hmm. but in Flatbush for the summer, it's empty. Everyone goes up to the mountains.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me the opposite, because Rav Moshe references this, and the Yetzias HaShabbos takes it a little bit further. Rav Moshe references, I think, Chela Dalet, Simon Pezayin Peches, that in the beaches in Coney Island, in the summer, on the weekends, you have a million people. So I don't know what the numbers are now. So does that make... the Yetzias HaShabbos, Rabbi Weissman argues that even if you want to assume, because you don't have Shishim Rebo in any given street in Brooklyn, even Ocean Park, where you don't have Shishim Rebo on the street itself. So if you're not going to assume, like Rav Moshe, as we'll get to, like the many positions that Shishim Rebo is dependent on the city, not just on the street. So even if you'll want to assume that Ocean Park is not a Rishis HaRabim, Rabbi Weissman says, 1 second, we know there's a din of Mevos HaMefilosh of Rishis HaRabim. So he says, Coney Island on a summer weekend has a din of a Platya, because you have a million people there. So that's a single area where you have a million people gathering. And Ocean Park, it goes into the Coney Island Beach. So that's a derech mavi amufulah shlishis harabim, which will have a din of shlishis harabim, even if it doesn't otherwise independently have shishim rebo. So that's taking that point in the other direction.
But it would only apply during the summers, or they would extend it for the whole
year.
It's
like even, right, so even if Rav Moshe does seem to entertain there, and he's saying in the Plata context, now that you could have a situation where on some days an area may be Rishis HaRabim, and other days not. The Munkacher assumes that he doesn't think that's logical.
The question over there would be just that, you know, in the summer they're coming, maybe some travel, but Lechler, in the summer they're coming out of their homes. But they're in their homes, right? So meaning, right. So maybe Rav Moshe also thinks that they might not need to be in the streets, but Lamaisa, they live in the city. In the summer, all the from Jews actually leave the city, and they go 3 hours travel.
Right. So that could be, that would be Rashi's ear show, Rav Moshe Nasa Shel Yachid.
Right.
Yeah.
The venue set the Yashar for 6 months after you'll be there. What's the place that's Rav Moshe Rav, and where they're coming from? They're coming from the ear and they're going to this street, to any street, he's saying, no? The one that's at EF Shar, if they're all to be there at the same time, even if they're not inside there.
No, the Beis Ephraim says that B'chol Yo means... It doesn't necessarily, even if you require B'chol Yom, it doesn't mean that you need to have that number in the streets on a given day, on any given day. It means that,
or on a single street.
As far as that nukud, whatever you hold, whether it has to be a single street or all the streets, that's not the focus. Whether it's Shishim Rebo Ba'ir, whether it's Shishim Rebo Ba'rachov, whichever one it is, you don't require, the Beis Ephraim says, you don't require that you actually have that number either by ear or by rechov at a given time. All you need is that you have access, that you have that kind of a population in the area that could, in theory, be in that street at a given time.
What about people in a different town?
Or if another town is close enough where the two populations together are enough to reasonably populate the streets.
Like,
no, I mean, it doesn't sound like it. It's proximity. Where do you draw the line exactly? That he's not addressing
with him. Half an hour away, you'd almost definitely
lose. The impression is it has to be, it would be a normal situation. It would be normal that population would... some people, right, so you look at the number of commuters as well. That you see from the Rishonim who had a less time anyway, the Ritva, Regilin.
But the communities wouldn't be in Shar. It would be they need to actually do it. Go.
So He raises an interesting question. According to the Beis Ephraim, maybe we should view things based on what is the maximum number of people that could possibly commute in that vicinity, even if Lamaisa are not commuting. Okay, could be. That could be.
Make a lot more when you have towns so close together,
there are only.
If you're going to my city.
Okay, but if she. Fine. If she should be with us, we'll see her emotion is really 3 million. So there are only two cities in the United States that have a population of more than 3 million, I'm sorry?
But the city can hold 3 million. Most cities can hold 3 million. And they have 3 million people. Even if it's 3 million, they have 3 million people from the surrounding towns.
There aren't that many metropolitan areas that have. Okay, so
not
you have to
people per
right.
It can hold 3 million people.
Yeah,
and all of their main.
But you have that. You have that number of people. I mean, your emotion is 3 million. It's like you have 600,000 that are actually in the street at any given time. But let's assume not only that. Let's assume that all you need is 600,000 people. Forget about 3 million. 600,000 people that in theory could be in the streets at one time. So I'm not saying that we necessarily accept that Hagdara of the Beis Ephraim Halacha, but let's say we did. So then you're saying there could be many more cities where there's enough of a surrounding population that in theory you could have 600,000 people in the street. Maybe, okay. But as it is Lemaisa, many will say that the basis of rendering our cities not as just either the Chazanish or the lack of Drachim Mifalashim. So even if you accept your argument, but the city still won't be Rosh Hashanah for other reasons. Either because you don't have Drachim Mifalashim, Mechuvanim, sorry, or because of the Chazanish's calculation of crossing off city blocks. So it's well arguable that the basis of erecting Erevin in those cities is for those reasons. So even if you accept the basis of Ephraim Sagdara here, and you accept your extension, Lemaisa cities may still not be Rosh Hashanah for other reasons.
So the basis of Ephraim saying whether it's easy to go straight or the whole
town? The basis of Ephraim there seems to be assuming the city as a whole, not a particular street. But I think his analysis would make sense regardless of what you hold in that question. Right, Minchas Yitzchak seems to assume this way also, like that Hagdor the Beis Ephraim. Minchas Yitzchak Cheleches Simen Lamed Beis Cheleches Simen Lamed Beis, that all you need to establish is that there are Shishim Ribo of a population in the vicinity, so that theoretically you could have Shishim Ribo in the streets of a city at a given time. That's what Rabbi Weissman points out in his Yetzias HaShabbos, that even though the Beis Ephraim in general the Beis Ephraim is from the Makilim, but on this Nakuda that we define Shishim Ribo based on the access, rather than whether you actually have Shishim Ribo b'fo'el, he ends up being Machmir. Now, having to do with Mishnah Yakov is even more Machmir on that. The Mishnah Yakov is so that you could have, even if you never have Shishim Ribo in a given place, and it sounds like even if you can't theoretically have Shishim Ribo in a given place, but if over time you could have an accumulation of Shishim Ribo, that may be enough to render an area Rosh Hashanah. You have to look at that carefully, exactly how he says it, but that seems to be possible in the Mishnah Yakov. The Beis Ephraim is unwilling to accept that point. The Beis Ephraim assumes that's back on page Mem Vav, that if you would accept that an area could be Rishis Arabin because you could have Shishim Rebo of an accumulated population, accumulated travelers over a period of time, then there's no city in the world, there's no neighbor in the world that would be Rishis Arabin. I mean, even town population 2,000, that could only fit 10,000 people on its main street on any given time, but over 10,000 one day, 10,000 next day, 10,000 next day will eventually add up to 600,000. And he says that's clearly not Dumya de Digle Midbar, because then every street in the world could in theory be a Rishis HaRabim.
He says it's possible?
Who says it's possible?
It's possible for you to have 600,000 over the course of time?
The Mishnah of Yaakov does.
Or it does happen.
The Mishnah of Yaakov sounds like even if it's possible. Even if it doesn't happen, Lemaisa. What's the Mishnah Yaakov's raya to that? Mishnah Yaakov is page Kuf Vav to Kuf Zayin. But the Gemara on Daf Vav Amud Beis and Shabbos that we explored together earlier says that Midbar, there's a difference between the time that Bnei Yisrael and the Midbar and the rest of history, right? One was Rishis HaYaakov, one was Rishis HaRabim, and we know that that's the Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, which was which, right? So Rashi understands the more intuitive perspective that when Bnei Yisrael went to Midbar, the Midbar was Rishis HaRabim, and the rest of history, the Midbar was Rishis HaYaakov, right? That's how Rashi learned. The Rambam is the opposite. We have to figure out the basis of the Rambam. Fine. The Rashi understands when Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, it was Rishis HaYaakov. Good. So what Mishnah Yaakov says, what was Rishis HaYaakov? So you don't need a Brisa to tell me that the Machana was Rishis HaYaakov. That we know. Sorry, there was Rishis HaRabim. Again, Rashi learns that when Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, the Midbar was Rishis HaRabim, because you had Shishim Rebo there. The rest of history, no one's in the Midbar, it's Rishis HaYaakov. Fine. So when the Gemara says, and the Braisa says, that when Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, it's Rishis HaRabim, what are we talking about? We can't be talking about the Machna itself, because that already knows Rishis HaRabim. I don't need a Braisa to tell me that. So it must be the rest of the Midbar. Why is the rest of the Midbar Rishis HaRabim? Because you have a population of Shishim Rebo, one place in the Midbar, that theoretically could travel to another place in the Midbar. So even the area in the Midbar that Bnei Yisrael didn't travel to could be Rishis HaRabim by dint of the fact that it's accessible to Bnei Yisrael who are elsewhere in the Midbar, even if Lamaisa they never go there. So the Mishnah of Yaakov thinks on that basis, that you don't need Shishim Rebo Mamish B'Socha Ir. Now, the Beis Ephraim could acknowledge that halfway. The Beis Ephraim does say, in a Chanami, you don't need Shishim Rebo at any given time in the city as long as it's accessible, realistically. And the Mishnah Yaakov seems to have a lower bar as to what's considered accessible as far as the definition of Rishis HaRabim. Okay. So if you'll assume, before you get to Moshe, the baseline assumption would be, if you assume that Shishim Rebo is dependent on the entire city, not on a given street, meaning you look at whether you have Shishim Rebo in all the streets of the city together, Pashim Shalat Sein Rashi and Bevin Tosos and the Rishonim that we discussed last time. So the pashas should be, the Rishakta points out, the pashas should be that you define city for these purposes based on the Ibur HaShalir, based on what's considered a city in Hilchos Tchumen. So it doesn't depend on municipal boundaries. Municipal boundaries aren't relevant in many areas of halacha. It depends on continuous settlement. So even if the city limits of you're in Teaneck, and then the city limits of Teaneck end, and now you're in Bergenfield, but halachically that's considered one city because there's a continuous population. Then you move, continue to New Milford or whatever is past that. It's all one continuous settlement, and Hilchos Tchumen, that's all considered one city. So there's, you in theory could have continuous settlement going for tens of miles until there's a break, until you start calculating the Tchum. And that should be true here as well, that if you have Shishim Ribo in that entire area of continuous settlement, then it would be a Rishis Rabbah. The Ramosha's Kiddush is that that's not the case. Ramosha assumes that you need Shishim Ribo in the city, not in a given street. As long as you have Shishim Ribo in the entire city, then that's going to be Rishis Rabbah. But the way he defines the city for these purposes is not Hilchos Tchumen, not the municipal boundaries, but the Midbar. The Midbar, the Machane Yisrael was Yud Beis Mil or Yud Beis Mil, so let's say 8 miles by 8 miles, roughly. So that was the shear of the Machane in the Midbar. So if it's Dumi Digli Midbar, then that's the area that we're looking at here as well. That's Ramosha's first kiddush, that we define the city for purposes of Shishim Ribo based on Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. And then he assumes that, maybe this is the kasha that the Bali Tosus asked on Daf Vav that we spoke about last time. Shishim Ribo weren't their Nashim, Anashim, Taf, Erev Rav. Either you say Lav Dafka, or you say, the Tosus answered there in one of the Terutzim that no, that was just mefurish because Shishim Ribo. So that's what we learned. Even though in Echonami there was a population of much more than that. So that sounds like, okay, so Shishim Ribo is Shishim Ribo. Moshe assumes no. Moshe assumes a chiddush in both directions. That you need Shishim Ribo to be at the on the streets of the city at any given time. But in order to have a population of Shishim Ribo on the streets at any given time, you need a city population of much more than that, because the majority of people in any city are going to be home at any given time. So in the first shuvah, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Tes, Moshe doesn't give you a number. He says the number of people in the population that would be necessary to assume the presence of Shishim Ribo in the streets of the city is far in excess of Shishim Ribo. So there he doesn't write a number. In the later shuvahs, Chelek Dalid Siman Pei Zayin Pei Ches, he, in one place he writes 4 or 5 times Shishim Ribo, one place he writes 5 times, so the 5 times is 3 million. So the assumption is, which may also fit with maybe what the actual population of all place on the Midbar was, but he assumes that in order to have a population of Shishim Ribo in the streets at any given time, then you need an actual population of 3 million. That ends up being a phenomenal kula, because they're only leaving aside that point about the base of five in terms of access and how broad an area you look at that has access to the city as far as commuters. But in terms of the actual population, there are only 2 cities in the United States that have a population of 3 million or more, New York and L.A. And in the Kuntres about the L.A. Eruv, they write that our Eruv is kosher even according to Ramosha, because Ramosha requires 3 million in a 12 by 12 mil area. Los Angeles is a lot more spread out than New York City is, and even though you have a population far in excess of 3 million in L.A., but you don't have any, however you draw your 12 mil by 12 mil box, you don't have any area in L.A. where you have a population of 3 million or near that in a 12 mil by 12 mil square area. And in the West Rogers Park, Chicago, Erev Kudris, Chicago, which has a population of a little bit more than 2.5 million, So they write there that they discuss this with Rav David Feinstein, and Rav David said that you can make an Erev in Chicago because you don't have Shishimibo in a 12 mil by 12 mil area anywhere in Chicago, I think, even counting the commuting population. Now, in that last Nakuda, I'm not sure what the answer to this is, because you have to figure out how that representation of Reb David about his father Shita fits with what's printed in Chelek Dalet Siman Pei Ches, where Igros Moshe Chelek Dalet Siman Pei Ches raises a concern that even if you have an area where you don't quite have 3 million people in a 12 mil by 12 mil square area, but it's close, you still shouldn't make an error there, because then people may get confused because their perception is that there is a population of 3 million. So how that fits with Rav David's representation about Chicago, I'm not sure. Also, in one of the later Jewish Chelek Ches, which was in the 80s already, so I'm not sure. Kayadua, many of the later printed tshuvas were not written by Rav Moshe himself. So they're writing about Detroit. The impression you get is that even though Detroit is a large city, and maybe you should be concerned that people may perceive it as having a population of Shishimibo, but because the Jewish neighborhoods are viewed as a distinct entity, or they're not part of the bigger city, so then he's comfortable making an Erev. So I'm not sure how to look at all these together.
Brooklyn has a population of 2.6 million.
Correct.
Of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Does it come out that Ramos is like a yachid in this city now about the Shishimibo?
With the 3 million?
Yeah.
It seems that...
It's a good answer to everything we spoke about the other day.
Right, but the Rishonim don't say that.
Right. Because if you really wanted to be the designated right. Bar, so fired, even though there are 3 million people, they right. Just weren't on the streets. So, that is a good answer.
Right, but...
I'm saying for the Midbar, Nashim and Tafar at home, so
right.
That's the man who on the street.
Right, but then the question is, when were they, if you're looking at Shishimibo, when were Shishimibo themselves on the street, or were they, so we'll talk about that soon in the context of the Machan and Leviya.
I was just saying in Brooklyn, it wouldn't just be Brooklyn. Is it not connected to anything close enough?
You have to go on the bridge or tunnel to...
It connects to Queens. I'm saying it connects to, theoretically, but
Then the question is, it's arguable that you don't actually have a population of 3 million within a 12 mil by 12 mil area in Brooklyn either, depending on. I'm sorry.
Does it leave the Tchum, the Brooklyn Bridge?
Say it again.
Is it Tchum?
Manhattan's Tchum or Brooklyn's Tchum? That's maybe we'll have time to talk about Tchum later in the year. I didn't get to it last time. That's another complicated issue. Okay, then Rav Moshe has a shuva about Kew Gardens Hills, which we have to figure out where that fits into everything. A very, very brief shuva to Rabbi Peretz Steinberg, since I wasn't. Rabbi Steinberg is responsible for what I believe was the first community Erev in the New York City area in Kew Gardens Hills, which he put up in the early 70s. First Erev was in Kew Gardens Hills, second Erev was Rabbi Blumenkranz Zichron Levracha in Far Rockaway. Both were close to Rav Moshe. So Rabbi Steinberg is a recipient of this tshuva, printed in Chelek Dalet Siman Pei Vav, dated Tes Nisan Tav Shin Lamed Dalet. Do you see the slide? Ready?
Yeah.
So he writes, B'dvar ha'erev asher tikein kvot ha'rasa svivav Kew Gardens Hills, v'yazeb ha'eskeim kol ha'rabanim ashir b'Kew Gardens Hills. Now in 1974 there weren't that many rabbanim Kew Gardens Hills to speak of, but they all were maskim. So the Erev didn't include the highways. And it was a solid construction where you don't run a risk of it always falling down. And they have someone supervising it. Okay. And in Eroa Bezeto Elis Gedola Vatsala Mimichal Bishoge Gubimezit. So good idea. The Ein Dom Klal in New York Shelo Hayazeb Ritzoneinu. It's not like New York meaning Manhattan, where we didn't endorse an Eruv. V'ratzon Agon Rebaron Zitzal, and Rebaron Kotler was against an Eruv. V'yogad Eli Torah Mi'abridus HaRabbanim. So Kew Gardens Hills is not like Manhattan. Ki New York, Ir G'dola Ma'od. New York meaning Manhattan is a big city. Ki D'Beyarti V'shuv V'Sifri Igris Moshe. Aval, Kew Gardens Hills, he ketana l'nyanim elu. So Manhattan is a big city, and Kew Gardens Hills is small. V'lecha tamim shekasafti sham. So the reasons there don't apply. D'lachein hu tova gedola v'to'el seshmiras Shabbos v'ani omer shiyafas hisem. Good job. Okay, so the only inclination, or the language in this tshuva that indicates what the difference is between Manhattan and Queens, is that Queens is ketana, Kew Gardens Hills is ketana l'inyanim elu. What does that mean that it's ketana l'inyanim elu? So I once asked Rav Aaron Feldman Zichrono Livracha, who was a close Talmud of Rav Moshe, author of various volumes of Tshuvas Psakim. So Rav Aaron Feldman told me that some people said that what Rav Moshe meant was that you don't have a population of 3 million within a 12 mil by 12 mil area in Queens. So Ron Feldman told me he didn't think that was true, Lamaisa, and he wasn't sure, he didn't know what the real basis of Rav Moshe's psak was. But then I asked Rabbi Perry Steinberg, who was a recipient of the tshuva, what Rav Moshe meant. Rabbi Steinberg told me that what Moshe meant by Yer Ketana is the Erev in Kew Gardens Hills is enclosed on three sides by highways. You have the Van Wyck, the Grand Central, and what do you have on the other side of Hillcrest? Then you have the LIE nearby on the other side. So since it's enclosed by highways, then we view it as a separate area. Now, since it's already mukaf on three sides, it's divorced from the rest of the city. So it's not a function of population. In that area that's already naturally mukaf by highways on three sides, there's nowhere near a population of Shishim Ribo. So therefore, it's not a problem of Rishus Rabim in Rav Moshe's view of the world. I mentioned this to Rabbi Willig once, and he said, well, maybe that explains Rabbi Willig had an Eruv built in Riverdale a little bit later in the 70s. When he started the movement to build an Eruv in Riverdale, he tried to get to Rav Moshe to discuss it, he wasn't able to, but he spoke to both Rabbi Steinberg and Rabbi Blumenkrantz, Hatzman Chaim L'Chaim, and asked them what Rav Moshe would say, and they both said, based on their experience building Erevin with Rav Moshe Saskami in Far Rockaway and Kew Gardens Hills, that you could build an Erevin river though. So Rabbi thought maybe that was for the same reason, that you have an area that's already mukaf with natural mechitzos and highways that is set aside for the rest of the city, and therefore, even if you draw a map and have a population of Shishirim within your Beis Mil, that doesn't bother us because the area where you're being makif with your Tzimtzum Hetzachayim is already enclosed with existing mechitzos. So Rav Moshe does assume the basis of this whole analysis. Someone should fix that clock; it's been broken since the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. But the basis of Rav Moshe's analysis is that the Machane Yisrael, and not just the Machane Levi, was the Shetzer Rabim. If he's telling us that we look at the population based on Yud Beis Mil while Yud Beis Mil area. So obviously, if that's Dumi de Digle Midbar, it was a Machane Yisrael, not just a Machane Leviyah that was a Rishis Aram. That's what we alluded to earlier, the Gemara in Shabbos Tzadi Vav, where the Gemara says explicitly that the Machane Leviyah was a Rishis Arabim because that's where everyone brought the Nedavos for. That was the prototypical example of Otsah, Mirshis Yachal Rishis Arabim. Machane Leviyah was Rishis Arabim. They were bringing the materials, the Nedavos for the Mishkan, from an area that was a Rishis Yachal into a Rishis Harabim. Ramosh assumes that it's not Mistaber that the Rishis Arabim in the Midbar was limited to the Machane Leviyah, because you rarely had a situation where everyone was gathering in the streets of the Machane Leviyah. But you didn't have Shisha Mibo in the Machane Leviyah on a regular basis. That was only very occasional. It was a one-time thing where they brought the Nedavos Baboker Baboker, and you had it when they blew the Chatzosos and everyone needed to gather, but that was on a occasional or rare basis, not on a regular basis. So Moshe assumes it must be in Svara that the Machane Yisrael was a Rishis Harabim itself. If you assume that you need Shishim Ribo B'chol Yom or something like B'chol Yom or on a regular basis, you didn't have that in the Machane Leviyah. Moshe also points out that the whole terminology that the Gemara uses is Dumi de Digle Midbar. Dumi de Digle Midbar is a reference to the whole Machane, not a reference to the Machane Leviyah. So you wouldn't use the term Dumi de Digle Midbar if the only Rishis Arabim is the Machane Leviyah itself. That's what Moshe argues, again, first in Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Lamed Tes Anaf Hei, and then a little bit more in Chelek Dalid, Simen Pei Zayin, Simen Pei Ches.
Where do they get the Gemara get that from? The Yisrael?
How do you know that the Machane Yisrael is Rishis Aram also?
Yeah.
So then you say that Machane Leviyah was Lav Dafka. That was the situation where there was an example of Otsam Rishis Hashos. They brought it from their homes, from their tents, in the Machane Yisrael, which was Rishis Yachid, to the Machane Leviyah. But that was sort of Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, but not to the exclusion of the Machane Yisrael being Rishis Arabim as well.
That's not a strong
sorrow,
though, that they would. Because you could say otherwise about it.
Because you could
say.
How would they know that
you could say either way it's Machane Leviyah and Machane Yisrael? You're saying because you wouldn't have it often.
Which way do you
want to
say?
You're saying because, like what Moshe
would
say, you wouldn't have it often unless they were Machane Yisrael.
Right.
And if you're saying it, so you say it the way, which you don't have it, it's just more often.
Right. That's what Moshe is saying. You could argue, we'll see in a moment, that seems to be a machlokas rishonim, if that's in fact true. The Beis Yosef, let's just try to finish this up. The Beis Yosef in Simen Taf Dalet in Hilchas Tchumen quotes the Shuvas HaRambam. The Beis Yosef Simen Taf Dalet, the beginning of Ubeshuva Cheres, he quotes the Shuvas HaRambam that the entire Machane Yisrael was a Rishus Harabim. Because he writes that we learn the Isser Tchumin D'Araisa from Machane Yisrael. Tchumin D'Araisa Yud Beis Mil. We learn that from Machane Yisrael. Shehu Rishus Harabim. So that Shuvas HaRambam explicitly writes that the Machane Yisrael was a Rishis HaRabim. Now, the Rambam himself, we know, doesn't hold the Shishim Ribo as a requirement for Rishis HaRabim. So for the Rambam, Shishim Ribo isn't a factor in defining what's Rishis HaRabim in the Midbar, but that notwithstanding, the Rambam does write that the Machane Yisrael was a Rishis HaRabim. In the Sefer Tiferes Yaakov, Perek Lamed Ches, and the Tzias HaShabbos points this out also, I think in Perek Hay and Perek Ches, or Perek, I think it's Perek Hay, so they point out that the other Rishonim that say otherwise. The Me'iri, the end of the first paragraph of Erevin, Me'iri Yud Zayin Amid Beis, the end of paragraph Kfar Beyarnu, Yud Zayinim at base Kfar Beyarnu. He writes, Machane Yisrael v'shitza yachid haya. Machane Leviyah was v'shitza rabim. That's also in the context of Tchumen, that you can't learn out Tchumen deraisa from the Machane Yisrael, not like the Rambam, because the Machane Yisrael was in fact a v'shitza yachid. So writes the Ritva, Bava Basra Tesamid Aleph, Ritva Bava Basra Tesamid Aleph, that the Machane Yisrael was a Rishus HaYachid, and that's what the Rashbam there in Bava Basra writes as well.
Does the Ritva say?
That's what I just said, the Ritva and the Rashbam, Bava Basra Tesamid Aleph. And the way the Tiferes Yaakov says in explanation, if you're going to say that the Machane Yisrael was the Rishus HaRabim, then why does the Gemara only focus on the Machane Leviyah? So this is a slightly, basically what we were saying before, a slightly different formulation, that the Gemara there, Shabbos Sadivav, is telling us how do we know that there's a, you know, the standard chiyur for akira v'adacha. You need a akira from Rishus HaYachid, from Rishus HaYachid, Hanacha, and Rishus HaRabim. So, Lameisa, the Hanacha was in the Machane Leviyah. They weren't taking stuff out from their homes, from the tents in the Machane Yisrael, and putting it in the street of the Machane Yisrael. They're putting it in the Machane Leviyah, which was Rishus HaRabim. It's in a Hanami. Outside the Machane Yisrael, but in Rishus HaRabim. Inside their tents, is Rishus HaYachid. But Lamaisa, the seer that happened was that they took it from their tents in the Rishus HaYachid, which was the Rishus HaYachid, the Machane Yisrael, and they placed it in the Machane Leviyah.
Everyone who says that the Rishus HaYachid, the laws of Rishus HaYachid by Machane Yisrael, is going to hold 600,000. That is what I mean. Meaning, what would be the
reason? Not necessarily. You see, the Rambam does it. Oh, sorry,
Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid. I'm saying.
Not necessarily. If you don't hold the Shishimibo, so then it doesn't affect one way or another. The Machane Yisrael could have still been.
Why would it have been a Rishus HaYachid? I mean.
If you don't require Shishim Riba?
No, if you do require... I guess what I'm saying... We're trying to understand why should it have been in Rishus HaYachid, right? Mimonov Shachid, if you hold like that in the Rishon, they're saying...
Why should the Machane Yisrael have been in Rishus HaYachid?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying if you don't require Shishim Riba...
It might be more complicated if you...
Then why wouldn't it have been a Rishus HaYachid? Good. Okay, that's a valid Hara. Right. So does anyone explicitly hold... that it was the Rishus HaYachid, I mean, the Ritva does require, well, the Ritva that we discussed, there's some discussion about. So maybe that's a raya that's a raya that the Ritva is in the Shishimibo camp. Because the Ritva writes different things in different places. So that's the question. How does the Mishnah Berurah know to quote him for the Machmirah? Maybe he's not. So, okay, that's all right.
I'm also wondering if this might be where we have a smach, finally, we're trying to figure out what's the makor for this thing that has to be doing the Diggle and Yidbar, meaning the whole 600,000.
Right, we
were trying to figure out what Rashi says, where does it come from? But if you think the Gemara was not Madaiyah for Machane Yisrael, then maybe that's a smach, that the Gemara, it's clear in the Gemara that Machane Yisrael was called Rishus HaYachid. Maybe you'd have to see.
Again,
If the Gemara is assuming that Machane Yisrael is Rishus HaYachid, then that would be a big smach in the Gemara itself to the fact that you need 600,000, possibly. I'm saying, depending on... If you think that the Gemara
is... No, it's the opposite. If the Machane Yisrael is just a rabbin, so then that's a binyan of that you need Shishimibo, because that's where the Shishimibo were.
You're saying if you don't need it, then...
I don't know if it's Bechreyach in the...
Okay, right.